You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Do you read me? Do you read me? This is a quick blast from Transmissions from Atlantis.
Alright folks, this is our promised quick blast for The Magician's Apprentice, Doctor Who's premiere episode of Series 9. And let's start off with our thoughts on the episode. What did you think, Rita?
Are we doing spoilers?
Yes, here's our spoiler warnings.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Spoilers.
You have been warned. There will be spoilers because we're going to talk specifics about this episode. And frankly, if you haven't watched the episode yet, what the hell are you waiting for?
Well, let's talk about how it starts. Just the start of this episode had us going, what?
Yep.
Davros.
Yes.
As a child.
Yes.
What? Exactly. And we're like, oh, crap.
Yep. And that was, the way that they did it was pretty freaking amazing, too. Because they kind of built up to it. You're like, oh, this kid, you know, doctor's going to save this kid. Everything's going to be okay. And then you find out who the kid is, and you're like, what?
And the doctor's like, okay, sorry, bye. And now it begs to differ. You know, he left the kid there, and it made Davros who he was.
Or did it.
Or did it. That's right. Because you know what? This freaking episode is a two-parter. What is up with that? I mean, don't get me wrong. We knew going in that it was a two-parter. But when has anybody ever started off the series like that with a two-parter?
Yeah, but it was kind of awesome, though. I love that it started off with a two-parter.
Yes. There was a lot of crazy stuff that happened with this episode. I mean, where do we even begin?
Well, I'll begin at all of the just lovely, lovely Whovian moments in this episode. The Dalek City was a replica of the city that was in the first Doctor's first Dalek episode.
You had iconic scenes for the fourth Doctor.
Yeah.
Popping up on various screens here and there.
And not only that, there was callbacks to that, because what was interesting is BBC America showed Genesis of the Daleks the next day.
Yeah.
And there was callbacks to that particular episode.
Exactly, because that is where we first meet Davros, is Genesis
exactly.
of the Daleks.
Exactly.
This entire episode was a Tom Baker, what would you call it?
A love letter to Tom Baker.
Yes, exactly. It screamed Tom Baker. It
yes.
really did. I also enjoyed the fact that this episode was more Doctor and less Companion.
Actually, it's kind of the opposite if you really think about it. Because, I mean, it was all Clara and Missy at the beginning.
Yeah, at the beginning, but then afterwards it was all about the Doctor.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't as involved with the whole Impossible Girl crap anymore, which I'm happy about.
Well, I will say that Missy again stole the show. She is the most awesome villain ever. And I've almost forgiven her for killing Osgood. Not quite, but the fact that we know Osgood's coming back kind of lessens that a little bit.
It's so weird because you know Missy is the master.
Mm-hmm.
You know she is a psychotic, homicidal time lady.
And she made that abundantly clear when she started just picking off the snipers left and right. Boop! Boop!
I know,
boop.
Right?
Want me to go on, sweetie? Boop!
But at the same time, she was still coming off as the anti-hero in this episode.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, oh, Missy, you kill people, but we still love you!
Yep, she's like, she's in the cell and she's like singing for no particular reason. And you're like, she's just nuts.
She is nuts. But she's awesome.
Yes. And of course, like we said, all of the throwbacks to the classic Doctor Who, classic Daleks.
The real classic Daleks. These are the classic Daleks.
This was what Asylum of the Daleks was supposed to be.
Yes.
With the battle Dalek, the classic gray Daleks.
With the blue balls.
And of course, it was classic where Missy kind of, you know, tickled one of the balls of the dog. You're like, did she just tickle the balls of the dog?
Yes, she did.
Yep.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And is it me, or did the character of Devril seemed bored?
He didn't seem bored. He just seemed,
over it.
Yeah, he was over it, basically. He was like, he was even mumbling. He was like, you know, doctor, whatever. Here's what I'm going to do to you and your friends, and you're just going to like it. Yeah. You know, he just wasn't too enthralled into it.
No.
What did you think of the snake dude?
The snake dude was really creepy.
Yeah. I think he was a great-looking monster, though.
He was a great-looking monster, especially since you didn't know that his whole face was going to unravel into this massive
nest of snakes. Yeah.
Think about it. This guy was like Voldemort and Nagini. Combined. All wrapped up into one monster.
Well, actually, he's more Nagini, and then that, I guess, would make Davros Voldemort.
I guess.
I liked it better the way I said it.
Whatever.
Alright, so we're kind of hopping around here a little bit. There's a lot of people that did not like the whole Rock Doctor entrance.
I thought that was awesome.
I thought it was fantastic, and it was so Peter Capaldi. And I understand why they did it, because the biggest complaint all of last season was, oh, he's so old, oh, he's so angry, oh, he's such a mean doctor.
And he doesn't do anything fun, he's not humorous.
And then he comes out...
On a tank,
playing guitar, and it's actually Peter Capaldi playing, by the way, because he actually did play in a rock band when he was young.
In medieval times.
Yep, in medieval times. Kind of quite literally. And just rocking it out. And it was awesome. I thought it was great.
And not to mention that the stuff he was ripping on that guitar was amazing,
yeah,
too.
It's just... Well, he starts out with the Doctor Who theme. With the Doctor Who theme! Are you kidding me? And then he follows up with Pretty Woman, because he sees his two pretty women there. You know, and then he does a whole bunch of other ones. And it was really, really well done. And it was funny. And it lightened the episode a little bit. And you knew that there was something really, really bothering him.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Before this episode, you and I rewatched Series 8.
Mm-hmm.
And after rewatching Series 8, I felt there was something missing with Capaldi's doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He was being too serious. He was being a little too straight-laced and just not...
Well, I won't go that far, because his one-liners were classic.
I'm not saying he didn't have any good one-liners.
He had the sarcasm of I don't know who, but he was awesome at the one-liners.
I think that they made him a little too dark during Series 8, and Right. Now with Series 9, we'll have to see how the rest of the episodes pan out, but at least with this episode, he's starting to show a little bit more color.
Yeah, a little more color, more
to
fun.
To his personality, yeah. And it's more fun, it's not as dark, and it just makes it pop more, and it shows that even an old dude can be the doctor, and he can literally rock it.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of agree with you there on that, where this past season, Series 8, was just so, am I a good man, you know? What kind of man am I, Clara? You know, that kind of thing. And then you had Clara the whole time, you know, lying to Danny, then lying to the doctor, then lying to Danny.
Oh, my God, that was getting so old you don't even know.
Yeah.
That whole constant lying back and forth stuff, I'm like, seriously?
And then the season ends with Danny dying. And it's kind of like, this season's been kind of dark, man.
It's been dark, and it just wasn't great.
The Briggs daughter get sucked out of a plane, and you know, just
exactly.
Osgood dies.
Exactly.
I mean,
it was a dark season.
It was
man.
A dark season, yeah. So, you know, this kind of brought, like you said, a little bit of color, a little bit of light to it, but still kept the pumping darkness of Davros,
mm-hmm.
And of course the ending, which we can't really say what the ending was because that's a bit too spoilery. But wow. You see all those things happen at the end of the episode, and you're like,
what?
What is the doctor going to do? How is he going to get through this? It was just, I don't know, it was something else.
And I know this is probably something that's never going to happen, but I would love, and I don't care how psychotic homicidal she is, I would love to see Missy travel with the Doctor for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. I would love to see Missy and Clara together traveling with the Doctor until Clara's done, you know?
Because I mean, she doesn't have to be there all the time, but...
It'll add to the fun, because she's nuts.
Can you imagine?
She's nuts.
What Missy in the TARDIS with the Doctor would be like?
And you had to know that Clara got really ticked off that the Doctor would send his last, basically his last will and testament, not to Clara, who's supposed to be his best friend, but to Missy. And then Missy had that great speech about, you know, their relationship through time, and she knew him when he was a little girl, and you're like, what?
Well, exactly. And the thing is, when you find out that it's Missy that receives, you know, the last will and testament, as Whovians, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
We know why.
Mm-hmm.
They have a history that goes back from when they were children.
Yeah, from the very beginning, really.
Clara, he's only known you for, like, this little, itty bitty little time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how homicidal or psychotic the Master is. The Master, Missy, has still had a much more deeper impact in his life than you.
Yeah, I mean, the Master's been around since, what, the Third Doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean...
But the whole fact is that they've known each other since they were children.
Yeah, since they were children, exactly. And that's well established.
I mean, they were best friends. And there's even rumors that they could even possibly be related.
Yeah, I mean, and there was the whole scene where, in End of Time, where David's Doctor was just begging the Master to go travel with him.
You know, exactly.
Go with me. So, to me, it's feasible that Missy could join them. But...
It's a love-hate relationship, if you think about it. Missy in this episode was even more phenomenal than she was at the end of Series 8.
Oh, this was the best Missy that we've gotten yet. Michelle Gomez absolutely killed it with this particular episode. And, I mean, from the very beginning when her big head sticks out of the screen and when she's talking to UNIT.
Michelle Gomez can pull off psychotic.
Easily.
And there's not a lot of actors that can pull it off and make it seem real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, no offense to John Sim, I think you were a great Master, but Michelle Gomez pulled off psychotic a lot better.
I agree. John Sim's psychotic was a little bit goofy, you know, but Michelle Gomez's is just...
insane.
Insane in the membrane.
you see that woman, and you probably think the actress herself might be a little touched in the head.
Yep. Maybe just a teensy bit. Either that, she's a phenomenal actress, which of course she is.
Yeah, she definitely is.
All right, so let's go ahead and rate this episode.
I'll give it a 10. Because it really was a fantastic episode. And I thought it was a little bit more lighter when it comes to the whole Clara line.
Yep.
Plot line, so not as bad as the previous season. I guess the annoyance from the previous season is just bleeding over a little bit for me.
Yep. For me, it's a 10 as well. I thought this was one of the best season premieres of Doctor Who in the 52-year history of the show. Not only that, I felt it was an episode that made up for a lot of the mistakes that were made in Series 8.
I agree.
So, 10 for me, and I cannot wait for The Witch's Familiar, which is Episode 2, which will be next week. We'll have another quick blast next week. Talking about that. And of course, if you haven't already, check out episode 102, where Rita and I are previewing the entire series 9 of Doctor Who, and we also give you our review of Dragon Con. Until then,
Allons-y.
Allons-y. Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say Allons-y, Morocco. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it would be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo, because then I could say Allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
When one speaks of the perfect symmetry between science fiction, fantasy, and horror podcasting, with a special emphasis on Doctor Who, one should become a connoisseur of transmissions from Atlantis. Featuring JC and Rita Della Torre. While both will have a passionate and vigorous argument on the subject of the day, they do so with the utmost class. Harry Potter fan that thinks they're the only fandom that has passionate fans. That's a bunch of crap.
You know, that is bull crap. Harry Potter fans do not believe that way, and I don't even know where you're pulling that
from. Well, that's absolutely what you just said. The whole point. Prove that point. Respect.
What? That wasn't stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid. Stupid. And dignity.
Commander Riker here. I'm by the book.
Prime Directive, can I
get it? Prime Directive!
Join Transmissions from Atlantis weekly at transmissionsfromatlantis.com and part of the ESO network. Yes, it's quite good, really.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.